Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, entertainment is making a comeback at the resort, more festivals for 2022 at Disney California Adventure,
Genie Plus experience what it took to get It's a Small World reopened, we report on location from the parks, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Howdy, partners! For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast, and be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of December 15th, 2021. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. It's official weekly tiers like Mallory S. who ensure that DL Weekly can happen every week. We have an amazing community of Disneyland fans that are ready to meet you, hear your experiences, share your knowledge, and share all they have to offer with you. Head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up to join the community.
And if it wasn't for this community, our December trip would not have been able to happen. So a special thank you to all of you who have supported us now and in the past, because it has been amazing. So thank you guys so much. Well, it is that time again for our friend Eric over at Concierge to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our journey at Walt Disney World, where fans of Epcot's festivals are in for a treat. The Epcot International Festival of the Arts will return in 2022 from January 14th through February 21st. As with many of the Epcot fests, multiple kiosks around the world showcase will feature delectable dishes with a dash of color. Ask a concierge about dining packages that combine dinner with the Disney on Broadway concert series running every evening. Of course, the main event at the Festival of the Arts is the visual art. Epcot invites more than 100 Disney artists to take part in the event, featuring their works in stunning outdoor galleries. Browse prints and original pieces. Meet the artists at work. Heading further west, Hong Kong Disneyland started a new holiday tradition. On December 3rd and 4th, the Hong Kong Philharmonic Orchestra set up in front of the Castle of Magical Dreams, the park's center point, and performed a magical nighttime symphony. This 45-minute symphony features holiday hits and Disney classics and is accompanied by Disney characters in holiday garb, a fountain show, and falling snowflakes. Sounds like this show has serious staying power. Let's keep that holiday spirit rolling as we, roll further west. Disney Volunteers, spelled the proper way, E-A-R-S. Pay attention here. Volunteers at Disneyland Paris celebrated International Volunteer Day on December 5th. Cast members met at the Newport Bay Club Resort to wrap 3,600 packages for hospitalized children. Even Santa Goofy showed up to help out. Guests to the Parisian parks can enjoy a new parade this holiday season. Mickey's Dazzling Christmas Parade celebrates Christmas and winter through new floats designed in collaboration between Parisian and American artists. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, concierge. We look forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Well, thanks, Eric.
Now let's get to the news.
Some new and returning entertainment is coming to Disneyland in 2022. An expanded Celebrate Gospel will debut in February at the Fantasyland Theater, and Tale of the Lion King will return in the spring, also to the Fantasyland Theater. The Main Street Electrical Parade will return to Main Street in time to celebrate its 50th anniversary in June. Fantasmic and World of Color are also announced to return with no firm time frame yet. Finally, Disneyland Forever Fireworks will also be lighting up the sky once again in 2022.
I got so excited when I saw this article because I thought we were finally going to have not maybe exact dates, but at least some sort of narrowed down, like, this time frame is when Fantasmic and the Main Street Electrical Parade are coming back. Really, I just want to know when Fantasmic is coming back. But no, they're still leaving us hanging out on the edge of our seats, just waiting. I need to know. Anyway, so I'm still impatiently waiting for that news. But I thought it was pretty fun that so we knew that Mickey and the Magical Map was not going to be coming back to the Fantasyland Theater. But the big question was, okay, well, what's going to go there instead?
Well, we knew that because we saw them dismantling when we were in the park.
They announced it, was it maybe last year? I think it was around the same time that they announced that Frozen was not going to be returning to the Hyperion Theater.
But we knew for sure when they were tearing down the sets.
Yeah, when we were just there, we took a Grand Circle tour on the train, and you can see back in the Fantasyland Theater, and yeah, they were actually taking apart the sets from Mickey and the Magical Map. So unfortunately, that will not be returning anytime soon, because they took it all apart and took it down. But I think it's fun that they have kind of like a rotation, like, you know, things that are rotating through there for the time being. I'm sure at some point we'll get something there permanently. But I am happy that Tale of the Lion King, I don't know if you... Yeah, we watched that.
We did.
We watched that when we were there for D23. That was a really fun show, but just in a really terrible location, because it was right in like the seating area for World of Color. So you're in the middle of the sun, and they always had performances in the middle of the day. So it was very, very hot, kind of uncomfortable to watch it. And I always felt very bad for the performers, because I'm sure it wasn't a very comfortable time of day with the heat and the sun to be performing in. So it's nice that they have an actual stage and an actual theater, more comfortable for us, the guests, to be able to enjoy the show, but also more comfortable for these cast members to put on and perform the show for us too.
Yeah, and it looks like they might do the expand. Well, they are going to expand both of these, the Celebrate Gospel and the Tale of the Lion King. If you remember the Tale of the Lion King, they had a bigger cast when they were doing it, and they did cut that down a little bit. So I'm hoping that they bring the full cast back. I kind of, as much as I'm excited about these and I'm glad that there's some entertainment coming back, I do feel like hopefully maybe this summer or next fall, they'll put like a proper show in there, like we had Mickey the Magical Map or like a Frozen. Because these just seem like temporary. Mm-hmm. It's a good location to put these type of things and kind of like fill out the roster.
I would much rather this than have that space sit empty though, until they do get the permanent show in there.
So if you had to guess, when would you say Fantasmic is coming back?
Well, I really hope that it comes back in March, but that's, you know, selfish reasons for it to come back in March. But I kind of feel like that's not too far off. I really think that, you know, then they'd have the winter and the quote unquote slower time of the year, aka no slower. Like, there is no slower time anymore. So I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why I'm saying it's a slower time, but it used to be the slower time of the year. I feel like that would be a good time. And it's also reduced park hours, so they have more, you know, they don't have to be there in the wee hours of the evening and morning to be practicing. I think that would be good. And kind of, again, start in the spring before the summer rush, before everybody's going to want to see it, so they can kind of get their feet back under them, get everything working how it's supposed to be working, have the spring be like the trial run times to smooth out all the bumps and the kinks. Because it is, I'm sure it's going to be a rocky start. Poor Murphy, the dragon, has been sitting in her lair for, it'll be 2 years at that point. So I'm sure she's going to be a little cranky. She's not going to want to come out. Kind of like when she first made her appearance, she had some issues. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly they can get that animatronic and other parts of the show ready and working to perform night after night after night again.
So I just had a thought. So with Lightning Lane, so previously for Fantasmic and World of Color, you could go to a Fastpass distribution point and get seating.
Yep.
Do you think that they're going to do you think they could do a Lightning Lane Plus for like premier seating that you could pay for that's not attached to a dining package?
I'm sure. Sky's the limit.
That would
with
be interesting.
Genie Plus and Lightning Lane when it comes to these like pay per experiences or these add-on experiences, for sure.
I will say I am excited that Disneyland Forever is coming back. It is not necessarily like my favorite fireworks spectacular, but I'm glad that a normal, like something from the before times is coming back as a fireworks spectacular that I don't think They haven't reported on this, but I hope that they don't do like they did before, where it's just fireworks on the weekend and projections on the weekdays.
I feel like that's the new thing during the off season. During the summer, fireworks every night for sure. But during the quote unquote off season, I think it will shift to fireworks on the weekends and projections on the weekdays. It's just more cost effective that way.
Sure.
Not as magical, but more cost effective. Nothing quite beats a food festival at Disneyland. Lunar New Year and Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festivals are both returning in 2022. The Lunar New Year celebration in 2022 is based on the Year of the Tiger, so Tigger will be joining this year's festivities. Raya from Raya and the Last Dragon will make her debut at Disneyland for this celebration as well. The Lunar New Year runs January 21st through February 13th. Starting March 4th and running through April 26th, the Food and Wine Festival will return. Sip and Savor passes will be offered for both celebrations.
So a lot of the same stuff that has come with the Lunar New Year celebration and the Food and Wine Festival previously will be coming back. You're, of course, going to have Mulan and Mushu.
Yep.
They're, of course, going to Mickey and Minnie, Three Little Pigs, all that type of stuff in their festive attire. You're going to have the one thing new this year with Raya coming is they're going to put them in a setting inspired by Kumandra, which is like the area, and that's going to be at the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, so that could be really cool. And of course, there's the Lunar New Year procession, of course, the Sip and Savor Pass. We actually really enjoyed the Sip and Savor Pass for the Festival of the Holidays, so could be good. This is really exciting because we will be there during the Food and Wine Festival.
We will. I really like what they're doing with the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail area. I think that's kind of an area of the park that not a lot of people maybe realize or even prioritize to go back to. So I think it's really fun. So, of course, we had Villains Grove for Oogie Boogie Bash. Mm-hmm. That was
still
made it very cool, but only if you were a party goer did you get to experience that. But when we were just there last week, that feels weird to say, when we were just there last week, they turned it into this fun little like Santa themed area. So there was like the Jingle Bridge, and like there was different games, there was cookie decorating, all sorts of fun little things to do back there that were holiday themed. So I think it's very cool that they're going to turn it into Kumandra. I'm really excited to see what that's going to look like.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that is a good use of that kind of space, because there are kids that go back there and play and stuff, but if you can add some theming and stuff, I think that's really nice. Of course, I'm a sucker for like the nighttime lighting and stuff for Oogie Boogie Bash. Of course, you're not going to be able to have that for everything, because then like a whole chunk of the day, you're not going
to
see that.
Yeah, that's the only drawback to Villains Grove, is the fact that it's then closed all during the daytime, so that area is not isn't able to be used.
But I'm excited to see the food list.
This will be, I think this will be my first Food and Wine Festival.
That sounds right.
Yeah, because we
did
almost,
the Epcot one.
Vern and I almost, there was a perfect week back during Pixar Fest that both things were going to go
on. Right.
It was the end of the Food and Wine Festival, the beginning of Pixar Fest.
Mm-hmm.
This was back in 2018. And we didn't go that perfect week. I really wanted to go that perfect week, but it didn't line up for us to go then. But yeah, no, I haven't done the actual Food and Wine Festival at DCA. So I'm excited to take a peek and see what that's all about and experience it firsthand.
So now I have a really weird question for you. It's a question that only somebody like me is going to think of. So do you think they're going to leave the booths out for this and then just leave them out until this starts in March?
No.
Because it's like 3 weeks, maybe?
Yeah, nope, I don't think so.
You think that they'll pull
Well, they have to redo the booths because it's not the same thing. So it'd be like if they left the Festival Market booths out now, it's different signage, they might do different like decorations on the booths, all that kind of stuff. So no, I don't think they'll just be hanging out for 3 weeks. I think they'll
It just seems like a lot of effort to like roll it backstage and do stuff. I feel like they could redo the signage on stage.
But I feel like it's Disney. There's a lot of stuff that they could do during the day, but it's more magical if it happens overnight and when peering eyes aren't watching.
Well, as we've been covering for a few weeks now, Jessica Rabbit is taking over Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin. Last week, Jessica Rabbit, dressed in her best detective outfit, made her appearance in the attraction. A new figure was placed next to the car trunk that she used to be inside of. Then there's where she held the sledgehammer. She's been changed over to the new look. And finally, her silhouette has been updated in the queue to reflect the new look. Now, I know you and I specifically looked at the silhouette when we were there, and it was not changed over yet.
The thing that's super crazy is we went on Cartoon Spin last Tuesday. So that was, what, the Tuesday the 7th. On Wednesday the 8th is when we were seeing and hearing reports that Detective Jessica Rabbit had made her debut. So literally the next day. So unbeknownst to us, we saw the, you know, we saw it right before they flipped everything over. So that was pretty crazy. But unfortunately for us, we didn't get to go back and see the new updates firsthand ourselves, because we found the news out right before the fireworks show, and they don't reopen Toontown after the fireworks. So Toontown, of course, closes early, and we found out like right as Toontown closed that this change had been made. So we were really bummed, because it would have been so cool, because we were there for It's a Small World reopening, and we were in the parks for Jessica Rabbit, for the new Jessica Rabbit detective. But we didn't get to see it firsthand because we found out too little, too late. But that is okay.
Yeah, it would have been cool to see them. But the pictures do good. I mean, I felt like really what it is a redressing of the characters. Yeah, it wasn't like a new. The only thing that's new is her standing up next to the trunk. She was laying in the trunk before.
Yep, the first Jessica Rabbit is new, or they reworked the figure that they had before into a standing version. But yeah, the second one where she's holding the sledgehammer, that's like, this is gonna hurt you a lot more than it's gonna hurt me. Same figure, she just has a detective coat on now.
Sure.
I'm gonna withhold judgment until actually seeing them, but I'm just still like amazed that we were there the day before everything flipped. And it did you feel like, oh, it's going to be different tomorrow? Like nothing, no. Nothing seemed askew. That's just how cool and how amazing Disney cast members are, that they can pull off this switch just overnight and poof, next day, new thing.
Well, it wasn't dialogue and stuff didn't change.
No, but still, I mean, the shadow thing, like, sure, you know, that was a lot of it. Wasn't like, we're just going to put this one coat on this one figure, sure, and call it good. So still pretty cool.
Right now, before we get to the next story we had scheduled, this seems like a good spot to throw this in. So Disney also announced sometime today that before Mickey's Toontown closes in March, that Mickey's house is going to be available to be rented for private parties in Toontown.
I think that's really interesting. And the thing that was also amazing to me was the price point on this. The price point on this, compared to other private experiences where you rent out areas of Disneyland, this price point was pretty reasonable. It was, what was it, 10 people, and it was $350. So,
and you get photo pass.
So it's $35 per person. So not bad when you think of what is that dining experience that ends up being like $1,500.
Oh, the Royal 21 Royal?
Yeah, the 21 Royal dining experience where you get to rent out and be in what was the Dream Suite area and have dinner up there. Yeah, it's like that's a $1,500 experience. So $35 per person seems totally reasonable.
Well, a 90-minute gathering, I mean, you're paying more than $35 for a character dining experience, mm-hmm, and you're in Mickey's house. So just to tell you guys what it includes, it's a 90-minute gathering for up to 10 guests, like Teresa said. You get a group photo with Mickey and receive complimentary downloads of PhotoPass photos taken during the event. You get to decorate cupcakes, participate in hands-on crafts and games, and get quicker entry to Gadget. This is the silliest part. Gadget's Go Coaster. And then you get to relax and leave the party planning to us. They'll create the magical celebration. It takes place. You can book this between January 19th, 2022 and March 6th. So only for like a month and a half. And like Teresa said, $350 per group, gratuity not included. Payments due at the time of booking.
So it is, I don't know if you mentioned this, it is a 90-minute experience. So still,
no again, discounts either.
For what Disney usually pays for these private experiences, this is actually pretty reasonable.
I just thought it was interesting that because one of the criticisms that people have had, especially with Genie and stuff, is that Disney's just trying to nickel and dime everybody. And now they're basically renting out Mickey's house. And I'm not sure how I feel about it. I feel like there's plenty of places you could rent out in the park. It just feels like you're taking something that used to be open to the public and you're renting it.
Well, but
I don't know.
The only problem is these houses, that's the other thing too you have to remember, is these houses haven't been open, so they're just kind of sitting empty. Mickey's house, Minnie's house, Goofy's house.
Sure.
Donald's boat. You know, so they're just empty spaces anyways. So I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about it, but I'm still surprised that they didn't slap a much bigger price tag on it. Mm-hmm. Just because that seems to be, you know, for these private experiences, and especially since this is a limited time offering, you would have thought that they would have slapped a much higher sticker on it. So I'm glad that they did not.
By the way, I'm so sorry that I just now realized that you're wearing your new ears that did not arrive in time for the trip. They're cute,
you're
actually.
You're so observant.
I like how, well, we were busy dealing with all the other stuff. I enjoy the 3D-ness of it. Yeah,
and
like it's layered.
Mickey berries.
Yeah, I like the layering of the like leaves, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I ordered these specifically for the trip, and they came the day our first day in Disneyland, so it didn't work out at all. They were supposed to have gotten here like the Thursday before we left. We left on a Sunday, and they arrived on Monday. So,
what's your least favorite part of that?
What?
Of your band?
My bow.
Yeah,
I feel like
looks better.
The bow needs to not be so like
together.
Yeah.
I wish it was less filled, maybe?
Maybe that's
like
part
flatter
of the problem too. It's overstuffed.
Yeah. I love the ears on it, though. Like, if it didn't have the bow, I'd even wear those. Like, that's cute.
Mickey has his own Airbnb.
It's a great way to look at it. That's how they should have advertised it. Stay in Mickey's Airbnb. I mean, I guess you couldn't use Airbnb, but...
That's funny.
You could make it, like, ToonBnB or something. You know how they'd, like, turn into some... Anyway. Moving on.
Very true. The Disability Access Service, better known as DAS, has been improved. Starting with visits on December 20th, guests who utilize the service can pre-register for the service virtually with a cast member. To do this, guests use a live video chat feature as early as 30 days prior to their visit, but no less than 2 days before arrival. Guests can then book up to 2 one-hour return windows for select experiences per day in advance. In the future, Disney says that guests enrolled in the system will be able to same-day self-select an attraction without having to visit with guest relations. What I was just going to quickly say is, for those of you that haven't been with someone that haven't used this pass or haven't been with someone that uses this pass, it is a really great feature, and it's a really nice service that Disney does provide for guests. But the one kind of drawback is whenever you want to use your pass and go to an attraction, you have to go visit with a guest relations cast member. So not only is that time consuming for the guest, but it's also time consuming for the cast members to have to, you know, because they've poor guest relations cast members are dealing with all sorts of things. So it's nice to be able to make this something that the guests can do themselves.
I will say they had to do something, right? Because the old DOS service was basically go to City Hall, get a pass, and then at your whim go to the exits of all these different attractions. So it's nice that they've done something where you have to go and it kind of breaks it up, and they give you, it's basically like a lightning lane reservation where they tell you, here's the time you got to come back.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot better than having to basically, you can just freely go into the exits of everything. Cause I don't think that was working for anybody. I don't think the way it currently is set up works really well either, because it's really an inconvenience to have to go wait in a line to talk to a guest relations cast member. First of all, you have to find all these guest relations places.
Yeah.
It is nice that there's guest relations terminals that, I mean, because they'll answer any of your questions.
We ask
them about submitting a cast compliment. For future reference, they don't really take cast compliments there. You should do that at City Hall, or they preferred to you to go to the website and send in a email through there. But I just feel like that system that we witnessed when we were there was just very inefficient for everybody involved. So the fact that people will basically pre-register, and then once they get there and are on property, they can select their next ones in the future when they get this set up. I think it'll be so much better than the system now, because, you know, I can see how somebody might feel like a second class citizen trying to use a pass like this, and they constantly have to go back to a person. I mean, how would you feel if after every attraction you wanted to get a lightning lane for, let's say, you had to like go stand in line at the guest relations thing? And it's just really inconvenient. So I'm really glad that they're doing something like this. And I'm sure that there are plenty of people who listen that use this service or have used this service and are probably very happy about this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It was great to be able to ride It's a Small World on its first day of operation for the holiday season, but it took a lot of work to get it open. The Disney Parks blog documented the process. The underground maintenance room of the attraction, known as the Pit, flooded on November 10th while refilling was underway. Almost all of the ride control machinery is in the pit, and it was submerged in at least 7 feet of water. 20 different teams sprung into action to get the attraction working again. They set a timeline of 4 weeks to get it operational again. More than 200,000 gallons of water needed to be pumped out of the pit before teams could even begin to determine the damage. Teams worked to determine what could be cleaned and salvaged and what needed to be replaced. Now, this is very sad. Many of the spare parts which they could use were stored in the same pit. So, of course, that's problematic. The team reached out to Small World attractions around the world to get the needed parts. They met the goal of under 4 weeks and reopened the attraction on December 6th. The timeline was expected to be several months under normal conditions.
Well, I mean, there were rumors swirling that it might not ever reopen again because the damage was so, so extensive. So it's amazing. I mean, it's just amazing that they were able to get this, you know, dried out, fixed, and working up again in, what, 3 weeks? A little over 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. Just incredible. But I really love the part of how they were able to reach out to other Small World attractions around the world to get the parts that they needed to get the original working again. I thought, like, of all of the different Disney attractions, that was, like, how perfect that Small World now has parts and pieces from other Small World attractions, or and the original has like parts and pieces from attractions from around the world, and like that all of the different parks pitched in together to make this happen. I think that is just so, so cool.
Yeah, I'm just happy they were able to get it open. I feel really, Teresa, I don't know how she did it. She picked the perfect week for us to go because we had all types of great experiences on this trip. So Disney gods were looking down on us somehow got it all to work. So it was really great to be able to experience it. We did ride the attraction. We did announce out to everybody that we were going to do a meetup. So anybody who was in the park that day, and we actually rode It's a Small World holiday. So that was really nice. Community manager Kate and her daughter Jude love that attraction, so it was nice to be able to ride it with them for that meetup. And Jennifer, another weekly cheer of ours, happened to just be in the park that day, so that was good. So we'll try to do some more of that in the future too, where we announce like a meetup at an attraction so we can all kind of ride together at a certain time. I think that worked out really well, and we all got to experience a cool attraction together.
That was my first time experiencing Small World Holiday, and it's much, much different. And I need to now take Vern on it, because Vern is
I think he'd like it.
He would like it. I think he'd really enjoy it. His thing is the earworm. It just gets, the Small World song just gets stuck in his head and just will not leave him for the rest of the trip. And if not, you know, long after the trip too, it just gets really, really embedded in there. So for him, it's not the attraction, it's the song that just, that's difficult for him. So I think he would really really enjoy this.
How does he feel about Christmas music?
Oh, he's totally fine with Christmas music. Totally fine with Christmas music. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see Vern go through this and see what his opinion is.
It's just, it's so dang magical with all of the lights and all of the bright colors. We went through it, I think we went
three times.
And each time I was looking at Tag and I'd find something and I'd say, is that always here? Is that always here? Like, I was noticing things that were probably there forever in the normal attraction that I've never actually noticed, but they just looked different because of all the other things that they put around it. But man, like, the amount of detail to get that flipped over to the holiday version is just wow. Because if you look at all the dolls, all the most of the animals, even too, everything has some sort of little like holiday bauble, whether it's like a little bow or a little piece of holly, or maybe a little like ornament that they're, anyways, every single thing in there has been like Christmas holidayified in some shape or form. It's just amazing.
I was trying to find if somewhere on YouTube, which doesn't look like they did, I thought maybe somebody would put like a side by side of regular versus Christmas.
It doesn't feel as like it's the same you know, it's the same repetitive sound, but it doesn't feel as repetitive. So I think Vern would enjoy it.
I felt like, thinking back on it, I felt like the attraction seemed shorter. And I don't know why.
I think
that
it's
is.
Because you're just looking trying so to much. Take in so much. And then the other cool thing too is the smells.
Oh yeah.
You have like the cinnamon smell and the gingerbread smell were the two
peppermint.
Like that, that's the those two stuck out to me. I didn't notice the peppermint.
There was a peppermint one, I thought.
We saw firsthand how the launch of the Genie system in Disneyland went last week. The first hour or so worked well, and we were able to buy our Genie Plus service, make a couple of Lightning Lane reservations for Guardians and also Midway Mania. We were even able to mobile order some food and have a lot of PhotoPass photos taken, which was so fun. But about an hour or so into the day, actually it was right after we got off Midway Mania, the entire system went mostly unresponsive. The free Genie service to plan the day only displayed an error, and reservations for Lightning Lane attractions could not be made. Even the Lightning Lane Plus pay per attraction options were not available. However, magically around 5 p.m., the system seemed to come back online and continued to work for us perfectly until the end of the night. Even in the couple hours we were at the parks the next morning, the free portion of the service seemed to be working well.
Yeah. It actually seemed like it was going to be a great day with Genie Plus that first day, because we were able to purchase it very quick, very easily. Guardians, like, was super simple to get the Lightning Lane for. Midway Mania, once we got off, also really simple. We were, like you said, able to mobile order. Everything seemed like it was working pretty well. And then when we went to redeem our Midway Mania, I was having trouble getting the barcode to pull up. However, the cast member did tell us that if we had our park ticket, which I had taken a picture of earlier, we could scan that and the system knows. So that's good to know even for the future.
Yeah. So to kind of give a backstory, we were in the parks pre-rope drop, because this was also, not only was it Genie Plus launch day, it was also day two of candy canes, and we decided, even though we had gotten our candy canes the day before at the Candy Palace in Disneyland, we decided we were going to try again and see if we could be lucky and score two more candy canes, because we wanted to create a little Disney magic for some friends of ours. So we were in the parks early, and actually while we were standing in the candy cane line, I think is when we purchased Genie Plus for the day. I want to say, I didn't go into it with high expectations. I kind of was expecting there to be issues, because let's face it, every time something like this happens, even the first day of like parties and festivals, things don't go as smoothly. That's just, I mean, should it? Sure. Does it? No. So I didn't have very high expectations. So I personally was not super upset when Genie went down and we weren't able to use it, because what ended up happening was standby lines were still really reasonable. And so I didn't feel like we were quote unquote missing out, because we were still getting onto the attractions pretty quickly. But when it came back up in the evening, like it was around like 4 or 5 o'clock, we were able to just select windows and it was basically instant, and we were able to practically walk onto the attraction. So for us, that was like, well, this was worth it, because we just got to skip all of these lines. So, plus PhotoPass. We were able to use the PhotoPass all day. The other thing I want to mention, too, that just to kind of clarify, it was the Genie system that was not working for a good chunk of the day. The rest of the app was working just fine. We had no issues mobile ordering. You were still able to pull up the app to look at different wait times. No issues with PhotoPass at all. It was just Genie and Lightning Lane that was having issues.
And the interesting thing was, while we were waiting in line for candy canes, there was a Disney employee in the lane to get a candy cane.
A secret Disney employee.
She had two phones, an Android and an iPhone, and she was there to test the system. Now, she said that she works on the free part, so she was there for the Genie part of it, where basically you make your selections and it tells you, it like recommends your day for you basically. And that wasn't working, which we mentioned, and we didn't really use that. I will say, and I think we've mentioned this on the podcast, and I think later in our discussion, which we recorded in the park, I think we also talk about it. But there is a section under there called dining, which I was telling Teresa a couple days before that that I wish Disney had this, because it'll show you what food locations have mobile order windows right now. Love it. So I think Genie, even if you don't pay for the Genie Plus service, I still think Genie for the planning aspect seems really intriguing. And I enjoyed using it while we were there when it worked. but I don't know. I think it's going to be a situation where we purchase it like maybe once per trip, that kind of thing, like for one day.
Yeah. And it really depends on the wait times, because like I was saying, we were really fortunate and we didn't have we really didn't have bad wait times when it came to attractions. Obviously, things like Rise of the Resistance were longer waits, but it's Rise of the Resistance. It's still a brand new attraction. You know, that's to be expected. So, but like most attractions, I don't think we waited over an hour for any attraction the entire time we were there. I think most of our waits, like the quote unquote long waits, were between 30 and 40 minutes. But most attractions were walk on to like 20 minutes, if that. So we were really, really fortunate. So if I go on a time when attractions are, you know, wait times are like that, I don't really need Genie Plus because I don't really feel like I'm waiting anyways. But in the middle of summer when we were there during, you know, in July, that's a different story, because a lot of waits were an hour or more. So it would have been nice to have those lightning lanes to kind of make the most out of our day. But again, PhotoPass, super excited about PhotoPass. And the other cool thing was, I don't know if it was just because it was the launch of Genie and Genie Plus, but it felt like there were so many PhotoPass photographers out that day. So we got photos actually in areas that I've never even seen PhotoPass photographers at before. So that was pretty cool, too.
So real-time follow-up, just out of curiosity. So I pulled up the app right now, and it's 6:36 p.m. in California time right now, Disneyland time, on Tuesday the 14th. And a lot of the Genie Plus Lightning Lane experiences are for right now. So yeah. I could literally hit this and be in the line right this second. Rise of the Resistance has a 45-minute standby time. No individual lightning lanes, so they must have sold out for the day.
Yeah.
I was trying to look because I wanted to see. They did adjust pricing because when we were there, Radiator Springs Racers and
Web Slingers
were $7 to get the lightning lane. And we actually wanted to purchase the Radiator Springs one to test it, but we weren't able to because the system wasn't working. And by the time it came up, we were over in Disneyland for the day because they had like an after-hours party at DCA.
I don't know if they ever sold individual lightning lanes the rest of that day or not, though.
I'm not sure either. But anyway, I think that it's a good addition to the app, and I think we'll have to wait and see how people use it and what ends up happening.
We were talking about this in the chat with some weekly tiers, and someone brought up a really good point. You've got Disneyland, which is primarily there's a lot of annual pass, key holders, and a lot of locals that go to Disneyland versus Walt Disney World that's more tourist heavy. Yes, they have their annual pass holders, but the percentage would be higher in Disneyland. So it'll be interesting. I think just naturally, Genie and Genie Plus is going to be utilized probably more in Walt Disney World. The other thing too is Walt Disney World. Do you remember when Pandora opened? The flight of passage was some crazy. People
like 6 hours
long.
Waited
the entire day to go on this attraction. They historically have just had crazy, crazy long wait times for their attractions. So I would definitely pay to not have to stand in a 6 hour line if that were the case. Whereas Disneyland, I mean, look at Rise of the Resistance. I would say most days there's a point in the day where it reaches 120 minutes on the app, whether if that's the real actual wait time, I don't know, but that's according to the app, it's 120. But most days it drops to like an hour, if not less, in different parts of the day, too. So it's not super crazy. So I just don't know how heavily Genie Plus and Lightning Lane is going to be used in Disneyland versus Walt Disney World. Because I just don't know, again, with it being so many people that are local and that are frequent visitors, you're not going to want to shell out $20 per person per day every time you visit. It's kind of more of a special thing, special circumstance thing, versus Walt Disney World, it being a lot of people's maybe one and only family vacations.
Sure.
They're going to be more apt to want to get the most out of their days. So it'll just be interesting to kind of see between the two how that works.
It looks like they lowered the price for Radio Springs again, as of right now, on Tuesday the 14th, $7 again. So
must be weekend prices.
Yeah, because weekend it went up to 12. Mm-hmm. Again, I can't see what rise is, but I felt like I honestly felt that $20 was a little steep for Rise of the Resistance. Yeah. I think if it would have been $12 or $13, I still wouldn't have been happy with it, but I wouldn't have thought it was outrageous. I thought $20. You're basically doubling your cost of Genie Plus.
Well,
and you don't have to have Genie Plus to buy those.
Yeah.
But still.
I was just going to say that that is a thing too to mention is if you're looking at things like Rise of the Resistance, Radio Springs Racers, or Web Slingers, the three that have the individual lightning lanes, the ones that you have to pay extra or pay per to get on, you do not have to spend $20 on Genie Plus to then spend $7 to ride like Radiator Springs Racers. You can just do the a la carte and pay just the $7 to pay for the lightning lane on Radiator Springs Racers. Mm-hmm. So that was, I actually was surprised to find that out. I was happy to find that out because I really thought those individual lightning lanes were going to be in addition to the Genie Plus.
Me too. If, like us, you were in the parks on December 8th for the launch of Genie Plus and you used the service, you may have received an email from Disneyland. The email states that they are, quote, working to provide recovery, end quote, for the launch. Not exactly sure what that means at this time, but it is possible that Disney will either refund guests or provide some other perk for the inconvenience.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by this because one of the reports that I'm sure a lot of people have seen and that we were walking past was, of course, the poor guest services cast members were flooded with people. And it was shortly, like, the first crazy line I saw at guest relations was when we were still in DCA. And it was not long after it went down. People were up at the booths and they were upset and they were wanting, you know, refunds. They were wanting their money back. Guest relations, of course, was taking care of the guests. There was a couple of different things that I had heard had happened. One of the things was they were issuing people basically like some sort of pass that allowed them to get six lightning lanes with these like paper pass things. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I heard too was that they were issuing refunds in the form of a Disney gift card. So instead of just, oh, you paid $20 for a Genie, here's your $20 back, they gave you a $20 gift card, which pros and cons to that, but it's also guest relations. I don't think they have like a cash register there, or maybe the ability to refund your card. So I think that was kind of the best they could do that, you know, that quickly. So I was actually surprised because Now I feel kind of bad that because we didn't go and ask for a refund because, again, we kind of knew what we were getting ourselves into. But we made sure we made the most of PhotoPass and then decided at a certain point, any lightning lanes are just a bonus if we get those. Because, right, PhotoPass is $20. So lightning lane at this point is just a bonus, just cherries on top or sprinkles or hot fudge or whatever, because it was more than.
And it worked out.
And it worked out well for us. So we didn't. I didn't feel like we had, quote unquote, wasted money, per se. Did we get exactly what it was that we paid for? Well, no, because it was down for most of the day. But so I was very surprised that Disney was reaching out to guests that had Genie Plus, at least the first day, to, you know, to try and like make this right, even if you didn't go stand in the line to talk with somebody while you were there at the parks, which makes me I feel bad for all the people that did stand and wait in line to get things taken care of, because that, you know, that just kind of ate a chunk of their day when maybe they didn't have to be waiting in line to get that taken care of.
I do think it's interesting that Disneyland is proactively trying to contact people because they don't really have to do that.
A new Star Wars photo opportunity has come to Downtown Disney. Next to the Star Wars trading post, there are two new displays for the Book of Boba Fett, the new Disney Plus show coming later this month. The first is a throne that Boba can be seen sitting on in the trailer for the new show. The second is a sand crawler, which fans will know from the original movies and The Mandalorian.
So we just missed this one, too, because I think this just showed up right afterwards. It's cool that they put these out in Downtown Disney. They've had photo stuff before. They actually used the sand crawler for a Toys for Tots promotion recently. I think they opened the back of it and it was like full of toys.
Fun.
And so that was really cool to use it for that, but then keep it around for a photo opportunity. So
why not?
Yeah, it's cool. I like these photo ops. I know people love them. So I am in favor of them continuing to add these things and putting them in Downtown Disney. Great idea next to the trading post.
So side note, This was there when we were there. We missed it.
Dang it. We were over there, though, so they must have installed it after.
It was like Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but not when we were in Downtown Disney.
No, it wasn't when we were in Downtown Disney, but it went up when we were still... We could have gone to see it.
What the heck?
I know.
A strange construction project that drew a lot of attention has finally been completed. The right side of the walkway to Toontown has finally come out from behind construction walls and has been revealed to be an ADA access ramp. Theories had been talked about, like a new Lightning Lane queue or other odd options, but this is just an ADA ramp for people needing the less bumpy path and slightly less grade going to Toontown.
I kind of chuckled to myself when you were first reading the saying, a construction project that drew a lot of attention, because it was drawing our attention when we were there. We were trying to spy on it from the train when we were parked and looking down, like, because I think we were at the front of the train. So when the train parked in the Toontown station, mm-hmm. we were actually over the bridge so we could see down in there. We were like talking about it when we were on It's a Small World and all this stuff. So I think it's finally been revealed. It felt like that it took a while for this one. So I think that's why it was had so many people scratching their heads trying to figure out what it was.
It's so funny to me because Mice Chat was like, oh, they're building this new thing. And David from Fresh Baked was like, we don't know what this is. And I felt like David does a lot of the construction videos and I love his construction videos, but it's so funny because he loves to speculate about things.
Oh,
so
yeah.
he was speculating away trying to figure out what this would be. So I'm glad to see we know what it is. I'm a little disappointed that it wasn't something more exciting after everybody seemed so, paid so much attention to this, mm-hmm. but so we know now, and that's that's the point.
It's going to be easier to spot former Disneyland and other Disney parks ambassadors in the future. New Gold Disney Ambassador alumni name tags have been created that take their inspiration from Walt Disney's Disneyland Employee Number One badge. The new name tags were presented to the current alumni at a recent alumni gathering. So next time you're at the parks, be on the lookout for a gold name tag to see if you're in the presence of a former Disneyland or other Disney ambassador.
This is so cool. Like, I didn't even know this was a thing, and you posted this. So
they're super cool.
The name tags are like the shape that we're used to. The top, instead of having any of the castles or anything from any of the different parks, is just a classic Mickey head with their name. Under it will be the resort that they were the ambassador of. And then around the bottom, like where ours says, like where the magic began or whatever, it says Disneyland or Disney ambassador and the years they were the ambassador. So in one of the photos here, they have Steven, who was a Walt Disney World Resort ambassador, and it says Disney ambassador 2019 to 2021. I think it's really cool.
I think it's fun. And then the other inspiration, too, was as you may know, Disney ambassadors have like this really cool pin that they wear when they're currently the ambassador that kind of sets them apart from just the other cast members. So the other kind of inspiration too, along with, of course, the number one badge from Disneyland was that pin, since that pin is also gold. So mm-hmm. I think it's really fun. They're very classy looking.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I wish that they would have done is for that top part where the Mickey head is, I wish it would have been that cool ambassador logo that they have that matches that pin that has kind of that kind of circular thing. Anyway, so cool. I'm really glad that ambassadors past and present are getting these, because mm-hmm. that's really awesome. Well, it's been a little while since guest paper parks have been able to grow until now. A new Disney Paper Parks Holiday Edition has been posted on the Disney Parks blog. The paper parks are designed by Imagineers for all to enjoy. The holiday version is 12 ornaments for the 12 days of Christmas, featuring different parks around the world. Starting in Disneyland and moving through all the parks around the world, this is a set not to be missed. To download the paper parks, visit the link in our show notes.
These are just so cool. And I feel like I've said this before, but I just love that they're continuing these after, all the, because this was a thing that started when all of the parks were shut down to bring a little Disney magic home for everyone. So I think it's really fun and really cool that they've continued to do these and bring these out and share these with us, even though the parks are reopened now. This one, I feel like this one might be more my speed. I have been looking at the Disney paper parks and like admiring them and thinking they're super cool, but also thinking, oh my, I don't think I have time. Like it felt like a very large commitment for me to like sit down, cut these out, color them, and like I'd want to make them look as good as I could. These are smaller versions, but still very cool, very intricate. I think I could handle these.
Yeah.
I like this. I like this a lot.
It looks like you just kind of fold them into things. They're almost the level of the 3D like wooden things that you've gotten from Disney.
It's like these are kind of like little like shadow boxes.
Yeah. So super cool. I'm glad that they did the parks around the world. That's kind of a neat thing. And you can put them on a wreath. I feel like you need to do this, Teresa, and color them. No?
Yes, I will try.
I still need to finish my Sleeping Beauty Castle one that I started.
We have spoken before about the great relationship that Disney has with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Well, last week, Disney hosted a Galaxy of Wishes fundraising event in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. The money raised from this event will help the Make-A-Wish Foundation be able to grant more wishes for children with critical illnesses. Disneyland was part of the first Wish back in 1980.
So when we were there, we thought the rumor around the park was that it was a corporate event, like that it was like some company was renting out Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
Then we found out the next morning that it had been the Make-A-Wish thing.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, in Galaxy's Edge, there was all types of stuff set up. There's giant screens.
There were screens in multiple places. Mm-hmm. There was a stage set up in front of the Falcon. So yeah, it looked like it was quite the event.
Yeah. And hopefully they raised a lot of money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation because What a great organization to grant kids that have terminal illnesses their you know a wish that they need to do. So super, super cool.
If you have time, I would recommend going. We'll have, of course, a link in our show notes. Going and reading this article, it was very cool to read. There's actually a couple of kids or people that were Wish kids that now work at Disney, whether it's at the Disneyland Resort or wherever, that they interviewed and talked to about this and talked about, you know, how important this was and stuff. So I thought that was really cool how this became full circle for some people because the cast members they talked to, their wishes were, you know, Disney related wishes. And then here they are today there as cast members. I think that's very, very, very cool.
That is cool. So they got two wishes made, really, because if you wish to go there, you probably also wish to work there. We wanted to have a final update on the cast member union negotiations and voting that took place a couple weeks ago. The cast members voted to accept the current contract, which will offer $1 per hour retroactive to June 16th, 2021, $1 per hour starting June 16th, 2022, but being pulled forward to November 17th, 2021, and a final $1 per hour on June 16th, 2023. Cast members who were hired on or before June 16th, 2001 will get $2,000 for full-time and $1,000 for part-time one-time payments. Cast members hired between June 17th, 2001 and June 16th, 2011 will receive $1,000 for full-time and $500 for part-time one-time payments. There's a bunch of other things that they can also get. For a full list, see the link in our show notes.
Yeah, because this also included things like healthcare costs and other different benefits to cast members as well. I have mixed feelings on this. I'm happy that, you know, that cast members are getting better pay and that they're getting these bonuses. I do wish these dollar amounts would have been higher, but I am happy that I feel like something crazy would have happened because if you remember, DCA had passed this earlier in the month. Or they passed this last month. I'm sorry. They passed this in November. And Disneyland did not. So it was this kind of weird thing that almost pitted Disneyland against DCA potentially. Because I just don't know what would have happened if Disneyland would have gotten their way and gotten more and DCA was already locked into this contract with less. Then suddenly Disneyland and DCA are like two totally different places to work. You're going to, of course, have DCA people unhappy. They're going to be wanting to move over to Disneyland. I just feel like it would have been a really weird can of worms, not to mention the fact that, you know, a strike was averted. So I'm happy that about that side of it. I do wish that the cast members would have been able to get more, though, because I feel like they deserve it. They work super hard, crazy hours. But yeah, I'm glad that the dust has settled. I just wish that it would have gone in the cast members' favor a little bit more.
Psst, avast there. Here comes seeking questions and long-lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place, but keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Welcome, Trivia Land. Hopefully you've noticed our menorahs have been burning, the tinsel is up, the trees are on their way, it's holiday season. We're in full swing. And thus, the theming of our questions for this week.
Oh, goodness. This could be fresh in our minds, though. This might be good.
It could be good.
It's going to be like past things. When did this start?
How Maybe. Did you know, Teresa?
Yeah. Yep, see?
Oh, my gosh.
Do I get a point?
I mean...
We'll you get a see. Bonus point for knowing what the trivia is going to be like.
I mean, it's very impressive. So we had some help from listener Trisha H. She sent in some good holiday questions to really spruce this up. But we'll start with one for me. When did the very first A Christmas Fantasy Parade start at Disneyland?
Ooh.
Now, wait. Are you talking about the one that's currently running?
I am talking about the first A Christmas Fantasy Parade.
Okay, well, the parade that runs right now is called A Christmas Fantasy. Are you saying a Christmas parade in general or a Christmas fantasy parade?
A Christmas fantasy parade.
Okay.
In quotes.
Oh, my goodness. That means there was another Christmas fantasy. I'm going to say...
What do you mean there was another Christmas fantasy?
Like, there could have been a parade called the Christmas Fantasy Parade that's not the parade they have now that is also called the Christmas Fantasy Parade.
I don't think they call it the same way.
But that's why he's air quoting it.
Oh.
Is it?
So I'm going to say...
I'm going to say...
1976.
Oh, wow. I was going to say 1989.
Okie dokie then. Question number two.
James is like, that is way too long ago.
Pretty much. We'll see if you...
My backup guess is 1997.
Okay, well, good thing we're doing backup trivia then too. Second question from listener Trisha H. In what year did the famous Disneyland candy canes make their debut?
Oh my gosh. Dang it. I just was like reading. I was just reading this.
2005. Because they were made popular. The article I read said that they were made popular in 2009, I thought.
Mm.
Maybe it started in 2009.
Are you unlocking?
2009. James Lee is correcting you already because he said, are you guys Jewish? Hanukkah is from November 29th to December 6th this year.
That's why I said the flames were lit.
Oh, well, there you go.
I appreciate that. We are not Jewish.
I'm going to say 2000.
I don't know what
2006.
Six.
All right. Our third question, also from Trisha. The residents of Cars Land celebrate the season by creating their own unique trees. How do Mater, Sally, Lizzie, and Luigi decorate their trees?
I know this one.
I thought you might.
What do you mean how they decorate their trees?
How do they decorate their trees?
I mean, how do they I don't understand the question.
What goes on their trees?
Oh.
Or what's their theme
how
of their trees?
How do you decorate
trees?
Your tree?
Well, you put
Would
lights
you like
on
me
it.
To, okay. Luigi is tires. Mater is hubcaps.
Okay.
And I think taillights, maybe. And Sally is cones. It's a tree made out of
I know this
cones.
Is really dumb, but who the heck is Sally?
Sally's the owner of the Cozy Cone.
Oh. See, I haven't watched Cars in a long time. Wasn't there one more? Or was
one more. I'm waiting for Lizzie.
Who's Lizzie? Who's Lizzie?
I don't know who Lizzie is.
Lizzie is the old black car, often confused about where they are.
Oh, like the old lady car.
Yes.
I'm going to say hers. We didn't walk where down that far. She? I'm going to say that hers is across from Flo's. I'm going to say hers is license plates. I don't really know that one. That's a total guess.
The only one I would have guessed myself was tires. So just put me down for tires.
So okay, we'll put you down for tires. All right, our final question. I'm going to keep up my theming of cast member costume questions. Maybe.
Did you pay more attention this time, Teresa?
I tried.
Okay.
I don't think I did a good job, though.
Well, we did notice, James.
Yes.
And I thought they were new, but I was corrected that we just haven't been there when it's been cold enough. But the coats that the cast members at Pirates wear are super awesome.
Ooh. I've noticed looking around, there are a lot of very cool looking coats and jackets, but that is not involved in this one. All right. Cast member costumes. Starting from the bottom up, the cast members wear blue pants. Most I've seen are a baby blue, though I did see navy-ish once or twice. They have a white shirt tucked in. It reminds me of a button-up, but there's no buttons on it. and it has a rather deep V, and that V reveals a blue and white striped shirt underneath that really makes me think about Mr. Smee. Top it off, they're often wearing what I can best describe as a sun hat. It's not big and floppy by any means, but it does have a ribbon that matches their pants.
I think I got one.
Holy crap. I can see this cast member costume in my head, like, pretty clearly.
Even from when you said baby blue.
But I'm trying to remember where the heck I saw it.
Do you want me to go?
Do you want? Can you tell me what park you think it's in?
I think it's in DCA.
Okay, hold on. Because I don't want you to influence my answer. Because I feel like I know where this is. Is this... It's in DCA. It's Little Mermaid, isn't it?
That's my guess, is the Ariel's Under the Sea Adventure.
Yeah, so it took me a second. Lizzie runs the Curios shop, by the way.
Yeah, it's like the, I don't know, I call it the souvenir shop.
You were very excited for that one, by the
way. I was! I've never, like, had any sort of, like...
idea for...
like...
Well, how many times did we ride that this last time? Three? Four?
It was twice.
Really?
Yeah, twice.
You ride it a lot more when you're with me, because I make you ride it a lot more, because I really enjoy that attraction for some reason.
Are you sure? Because one of the times we had the teenagers behind us, one of the times you had to talk to Ultra about the credit card, and I think we rode it another time.
I got a call from the bank in the middle of...
No. In the middle of, at the end of the Under the Sea scene.
Oh, no, Dan! Dang it, it might be Small World.
Oh, it might be Small World.
Crap!
So I answer it, and they're like, can we talk to Teresa? And I was like, okay. So I said, it's Ultra for you. And Teresa's there, and they're like, did you make this purchase? Did you make that purchase?
Dang it. Deanne, I think you're right. I got all excited. I think she's right.
Small World probably is right. Then what's the Ariel Undersea Adventure thing? It's similar, isn't it?
Maybe not.
Well, we'll find out.
Dang it.
Do you think you know your Disney history a little bit better than TNT? How'd you do on the other questions? Well, we'll have to wait until after this week's discussion topic to find out how we all did.
Hello, Weekly Tears. We are recording right now. As you can hear, the Christmas Fantasy Parade is going on in the background. We are sitting, looking at Small World, found a nice little kind of quiet corner next to the monorail beam. Very nice.
Under the monorail beam, for sure. Yeah, we are right behind the It's a Small World Mall, back where the old motorboat cruise used to be, the loading area for that. So it's a nice kind of area, and the parade's going on. So we thought it'd be a great spot to sit and talk about all of our fun stuff that we've been doing over the last couple of days and compare it to the things that we said we wanted to do. So where are we going to start with this one?
I was going to say, so our trip is not finished yet. We still have the rest of today and like an hour or two tomorrow morning before we have to head on the plane. So one of the things that we did after we left off last week was actually watch the Christmas Fantasy Parade. Yep. That was the first time I had ever watched it myself. Had you'd seen it before, correct, Tag?
I think I had seen it a long, long time ago, which is one of the reasons I thought we needed to replace it because it's been here forever.
Yeah.
But actually, I thought that it was less annoying and repetitive than I thought, because it seems like each float has its own music that overrides the backing track, sure, which is the part that was really bugging me about it. So it was pretty cute. What'd you think?
So, you know, first time for me, I said this to Tag, ever since I was little, I'd always seen a video of the trumpeting soldiers and the goofy looking reindeer. So I had this really weird, like, childhood, like, dream to see these things. So it was very cool to actually get to see them. I tell you, those soldiers, I feel for them. Like, that is impressive that they're marching around in those outfits and they have, like, just that tiny little hole for their trumpet to fit through. Barely, like, I don't know how they can see. Incredibly impressive performers, even though it's probably not one of, like, maybe it is for other people, but for me, that was a highlight of the parade.
Yeah, I also could not... Teresa and I both had a hard time when Santa showed up, not thinking back to our story from last year where Santa almost almost got ejected from his sleigh.
Poor Santa.
So he looked, but I told Teresa, I said, of all of the floats, his is going to be the one that is least likely to malfunction, because I'm sure that they have done a great job with it.
We decided after that to go grab dinner at the Plaza Inn. I had the chicken. I decided to give the chicken another go around. Very good.
I had
very large portions. I forget how big the portion sizes are there.
You get like half a chicken.
We were going between Plaza Inn and Bengal Barbecue for dinner. And we're like, you know, price-wise, it makes way more sense to go to Plaza Inn because Bengal Barbecue for the plate, you get two skewers, rice, and maybe like a slaw thing. Much smaller portion size. And I think it was either about the same price as the giant chicken dinner, which I for sure could not finish myself.
Yeah, I thought the chicken dinner was good. So I got the penne pasta with bolognese sauce, and it was good. I did try Teresa. She prefers white meat mm-hmm. to dark meat. So I was able to... I grabbed her leg off of her, and I thought, oh, that tastes like the breading. The last time I had it and tasted it, I didn't think it was that good. This time I thought it was really, really good. Yeah. And actually, I was very excited when Teresa made it most of the way through her chicken breast, but could not get through the thigh. So then I also got to have the thigh.
You did.
And it was very, very good. The mashed potatoes were okay. The green beans were nothing special. It was good.
We were going to get a dessert there, but they were out of both of the different cakes. We wanted to try the bundt cake, but they were out for the day, which was not a problem. We did try earlier in the day, I think it was actually just after we recorded, we tried the pumpkin fritters over mm-hmm. at
Royal Street Veranda.
Yep, over at the Royal Street Veranda, we had the pumpkin fritters there. The pumpkin fritters were very good. What made it, though, we both agree, was the cream cheese frosting dipping sauce that they gave it to you with. It was a fried pumpkin bread ball, and then they had cinnamon sugar coating on it, and then you dipped it into this sauce.
The sauce was the highlight for that particular thing. Because I thought that the actual fritter itself was just okay. But, man, I could just eat that sauce plain almost, except for it's a little sweet. It'd be a good thing to dip like a churro in.
Ooh, it probably is a churro. I bet you it is a churro dipping sauce somewhere. So we did a few different... We did really well in attractions the first day. We basically rode just about all the big ones that we wanted to ride. The only one we haven't ridden so far is Indy, which is, shocking for us. We rode mm-hmm. Pirates. We rode Haunted. Small Worlds. All sorts. Anyways.
Rise.
We decided to watch the fireworks and the projection show actually back from Small World this time because we just find it to be a much more enjoyable experience since it's just not so crowded.
Yeah. We were also able to ride the train.
Oh, yes.
Because we took some time to ride the train from New Orleans Square.
That was yesterday.
Doesn't matter. Okay. We're not... I've given up on trying to do an order. So the train was great as always. We did have audio this time through the Primeval World of Grand Canyon because last time we were here that we did not have that. But to get what Teresa was saying about the fireworks, you know, if you don't care about the castle part of the fireworks show, Small World is the best place because there is, we had plenty of room. Yeah. There was nobody around us, and it was wonderful. And they have projections on It's a Small World, and the fireworks go off right next to It's a Small World. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good option if you want to watch it. And we showed up, right before the show started. So if you don't have time or you want to prioritize attractions or something, that's a good way to do that.
Yeah, for sure. So after that, we kind of just lingered a little bit and moseyed for a while. We decided that we really wanted to do park close, but we decided we had something far more important to try and do before we get too far ahead of ourselves since we have already gotten to the end of the evening. I do really want to mention that we did have a little bit more Disney magic happen for us on our first day. We were walking past the Tiki Room and Maynard happened to be out front. He was on our... We took a picture with him, of course, and that was actually last week's graphic for the episode. So much fun. That was the first time that we got to sit and chat with Maynard. He told us a really fun story about the railing and how it was a fence for Princess Jasmine's tiger.
Raja.
This whole elaborate story about the fence, the bamboo fence that's there. It was really fun.
Now, the best part that we've kept on to from that whole story was the fact that the cast members where they stand have this small little anti-fatigue carpet.
Yeah.
And he bent down and was saying that, that was his magic carpet. And so now every time we see that small little carpet, we laugh and think of Maynard.
It's fun because we've got a couple of those little things now. We say hello to the broom that's hidden in the bushes as we walk in every time we call. I think we've decided the broom's name is just simply Broomy. So I say hello to Broomy every time we walk past. Now every time we see the little anti-fatigue mats, we point at it and say, oh, look, it's a magic carpet, and think of Maynard. It's very fun. That's what makes Disney so special, though, is all those little, silly, fun extras.
So there is another silly, fun extra that I almost hesitate to talk about, but I think it was funny enough to mention it on the show. While we were watching the Christmas Fantasy Parade.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guest that came up, her little daughter, cute little daughter, by the way. She was dressed head to toe in
as one of the
Incredibles.
Yeah.
So she was super adorable. Well, her mom came up, and she must have known somebody in the parade is really what I think it was.
I don't think so. I think it was just excitement. Okay. I really think she was just very, very excited.
She gets down next to her daughter, and she's videoing the parade, and the evil
Lady Tremaine.
Lady Tremaine and the stepsisters were there. And this lady, at the top of her lungs, like she was being murdered, yells, "Anastasia!"
She was
Anastasia!
So excited. You know how like little kids get really excited and just can't hold it in and just like burst? Mm-hmm. That was what this woman did. You know, again, Disneyland. It's the only time that you can like be a kid again and not feel like the biggest fool for like having that kind of excitement.
So now every time I hear the Christmas Fantasy Parade song, I yell, "Anastasia!"
It's become one of our Disney inside jokes now.
Well, I wanted to make sure we talked about that since you talked about the broom and everything else we did.
So the next morning, we got up early because, again, we wanted to try and to secure some candy canes.
It was drizzling.
It was drizzling. We waited for security. Like we got here so early that security wasn't even open yet. So we had to wait in a line for security, got through security. Somehow the Disney gods and winds and all the powers that be were in our favor for this yesterday, because we ended up finding a security line that had like no wait, no issues. And then I rushed to the gates and was the second person in line for our side of the gates. We got in. We had a super great cast member. I think she knew, with it being the first day of candy canes, that people are very excited and wanted to get in. So she actually pre-scanned a couple people. Like the first five people in line, she pre-scanned. So when it was time to go, we could get in.
We looked like crazy fastball walkers.
I was joking because Tag was in a separate line than me. So I actually had gotten in a little bit, a couple minutes before, or a couple seconds or minutes before. It's all a blur. It was so much fun. But all these people were doing this crazy, weird power walk. And I think because, like, somebody started it and then, like, nobody felt ridiculous doing this. Nobody was running. Everybody was following their rules. But I just started laughing and looked at the group next to me and I said, "We're going to call this the Candy Cane Shuffle," as we're, like, shuffle mall walking ridiculousness down to the Candy Palace.
So we got in line and we were probably, I don't know, it felt like we were probably 20 or so people back.
Within the first 20, for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. They did come down. The way the process works is you line up, and then... So we actually stood in line for two different sets of candy canes, and I just want to explain the difference between the two. So in Disneyland, our experience was we lined up, and they had a QR code outside the Candy Palace that a cast member was standing next to, that when you got to the front of the line, you'd scan, you'd write, give them your name, your first and last name, your phone number, and how many people were in your party.
Up to four.
And just for people in the future, if you have a party of four, one person can do it, and up to four people can buy the candy canes.
Yeah, so how
you
it
don't
works,
need to do it separately.
Yeah, so how it works is that initial line to get into the virtual queue, only one person needs to join that queue.
Yeah.
But when you go to purchase the candy canes, it's one per person when you go to purchase. So, for example, Tag scanned in, said there were two of us. I did not also need to scan in, but when we purchased, we both needed to be present to purchase the two candy canes.
Yes. So once they started, so at Disneyland, they waited until 8 a.m. when the park opened to start processing that. This morning, we were at DCA for their candy cane sales, and they actually started allowing people to scan the QR code before park opening. So by the time park opening, just a couple minutes after park opening, we were already scanned through and on the wait list to come back. Then what happens is because you give them your telephone number, they tell you sometime today you'll get a text message and you have a half an hour to return. You show your text message to the cast member, they find your name on the iPad, and they send you to the cashier where you make your purchase. Now, at Disneyland, what was cool was they gave us tickets that were numbered, and I was number 29.
Yep, and I was number 30.
So we got 29 and 30 number candy canes. At DCA, they just gave us a ticket, and we went in. There was no number. We have no idea where we were in that whole thing.
Yeah.
But it did take us a lot longer to get called back, so I think...
We were further back in the queue for DCA, for sure, because when we joined the mobile list, I think we were, like, number 70 in the mobile list.
Mm-hmm.
So, still, both times, very pleasant experience. Now, neither of us have... This is the first time we've gotten candy canes. Neither of us had done it pre virtual waitlist, so I don't, and pre-park reservation, so I feel like this was pretty smooth,
yeah,
pretty easy. Yes, we have the candy cane shuffle, but past that, it was very easy, very smooth, good process.
And even though the line for the candy canes reached down Main Street and through like Jolly Holiday and back a little bit, everybody, it seemed like, was able to get on the mobile wait list and probably got candy canes.
Yeah, they weren't cutting the wait. They weren't cutting those people out at all. So I don't. We're not sure how many candy canes they actually go through. Our guesstimate is between like 150 and 200. We heard some people online saying that it was 700. So I mean, the cast members in the queue also did not know, because people were asking, you know, is there going to be enough? Like, do I even bother to scan in and stand here and wait?
Right.
And they said, you know, they don't tell us. But it was really, the thing that was so magical to me about the experience was walking up to the window. I tried to get some video of this to share with everyone, but watching them pull the candy canes and weigh the candy canes and shape the candy canes into the hooks before they dry, I thought that was so cool to be able to like watch it. It just made it more special than if I didn't get to see the process, because I know, like, you know, they're fresh, right? I just watched them make these, and like an hour later, I'm picking it up. It was pretty darn crazy.
They are big, so they
quite large. Yeah,
they are quite large. It's not something you're gonna easily fit into a small backpack.
Yeah,
let's say.
I would say, what are they? I think 18 inches.
Yeah.
They were, what, $20 each?
$20 each. So in the past, they've been, I think, 15, and this year they're 20. No discounts apply, one per person, like we said. Mm-hmm. I will say, so I'm going to jump ahead because I want to make sure we talk about this. We did try my candy cane tonight. What did you think?
So what I first did, I had two small pieces. The first piece I chewed like a rookie. Don't do that. So I just like chomped through it, and I didn't get the magic. I'm like, I don't get it, because it was just very normal candy cane like to me. The texture was a little different, but not obviously different. The second piece, though, I decided to just kind of to suck on for a while. That was when the magic happened, because then it was like more light, more airy, not as sticky as like a store-bought candy cane.
Yeah.
The smell, the smell is wonderful. Such a fresh, pleasant aroma.
My opinion, which is a little more negative than Teresa's, was it was a candy cane. It was a little bit more airy. It's huge. I'm glad we did the experience. It was cool to get a Disneyland candy cane. Marked it off our Disney bucket list. Would I spend the effort to get one again for myself just based off of the flavor, the texture, whatever? No, not for me. But they are cool. I'm glad we did it.
I'm so glad we did. Now, like, normally, are you a big candy cane and peppermint
fan? I'm not a big peppermint person in general.
See, I'm a peppermint person, so I think
that's
probably why.
I can tell
because
we bought a lot of peppermint food.
Yeah, I think that's why I enjoyed the candy cane more. Peppermint is my jam.
After that, we went over to Red Rose Tavern, and we got one of the Mickey head-shaped gingerbread cookies. Now, I was very surprised because we bought these, and usually every gingerbread I've ever encountered with, and maybe I've just had bad gingerbread, well, it's always hard and it's very gingery.
Yeah, you want to like have a glass of milk with it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
This was very moist, and
I thought it tasted
really good.
The texture was so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, I've never had a cookie that I thought would like melt in my mouth, but this one was almost like melt in your mouth good. I was very, very pleasantly surprised.
I also want to laugh because I opened it to have some, and Teresa's like, maybe I'll have just a little bit, and she ate half of it.
Like half of it, yeah. Didn't even think about it. I also got the eggnog cold brew yesterday morning too, which honestly I didn't think would pair very well with the gingerbread cookie, but it did. It was a really delightful holiday treat to have the two things together. It was lots of sugar, so I definitely had a big old glass of water after all that sugar. But man, that was a holiday breakfast if I ever had one.
So later on in the day,
we also went over to the Jolly Holiday because we were trying to get the peppermint macaron that was over there. And first of all, it was like, it looks like a Santa hat. Fantastic. I thought that was my favorite macaron from the trip thus far, personally. Again, peppermint. But I thought the cookie itself had a really great texture. But the chocolate ganache and the peppermint cream filling that was in there, great ratios for both of them. It wasn't overly pepperminty. It wasn't overly rich and chocolatey. It was a good combination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was okay. The one thing it had in it that I didn't particularly care for was I don't like grain, like granules of sugar.
Oh, yeah.
And they had that on top. So I gave most of that to Teresa. But I thought it was a pretty good macaron. It was better than some of the Oogie Boogie macarons that we had.
The ones that we had in the ones that we had in September weren't as good as that one, I don't think, either.
And then, of course, I had the duo at Jolly Holiday. I had the grilled cheese sandwich with the soup, and it was very good.
For breakfast, mind you.
It was very good. It was cold and damp out, yep. So like the warm soup, I thought it was great. We stopped at the Market House because Teresa wanted to get the Mickey gingerbread man-shaped gingerbread cookie. So talk about that.
So he was kind of hard to find. I thought that we were going to find him at Jolly Holiday. That was half the reason we decided to do breakfast there, was I wanted to pick up Mickey gingerbread cookies. And they were not there. But when we were walking over to our locker, because I think we were pulling the candy canes out because we were about to park hop. And so I watched someone walk out of Market House, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. They have the Mickey gingerbread cookies there. So we went in, and I felt a bit ridiculous. Note to everyone, I did bring like this Tupperware container so I could try and like get Mickey gingerbread cookies home in one piece so that I can give them to gifts for some friends. So I bought 5 of them. I panicked. I didn't know how many I needed. I knew I needed like 3 for sure and decided I'd get 2 more for, I don't know, good luck. So I was that crazy person that ordered, we didn't get coffee, just ordered 5 Mickey gingerbread cookies. So yeah, there was that. We did try to do a couple of attractions yesterday that we hadn't done the first day. So we did Big Thunder Mountain. We rode Pirates. That was the second time we had ridden Pirates, but it was a 5-minute wait. So it's a 5-minute wait. That's what I feel like for any of those like dark ride type things, Pirates, Mansion, even Ariel's Undersea Adventure. Yeah. If it's walk-on, I may as well walk-on and do it. We also did, that was when we did our Grand Circle tour. And then we went and did Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln because we realized we hadn't gone and given Lincoln a visit last visit. So we went and saw him before we parked hopped to go check out some of the festival foods for the Festival of the Holidays.
Yeah, so we hopped on over to DCA. We went over to the first booth and we got one of the Sip and Saver passes. Now, we decided, looking at all the different foods, like we talked to you guys about on the show before, if you're spending over $7 per item, then the Sip and Saver pass makes sense. So we decided that we probably didn't have 8 different things that were over $7 that we wanted to buy. So we, so we bought just one. And that actually ended up being the perfect amount of tabs.
It was a really good deal because I didn't realize that being Magic Key holders, we got a discount on the Sip and Saver pass, the tasting card. Mm-hmm. But if you go to each booth individually and buy stuff just out of pocket, you didn't get the AP discount on it, the Magic Key discount on it. So that was a pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I think we accidentally did really well because everything that we bought, we made sure, we didn't even mean to, but everything we bought was $7 or more because we figured that was probably about what our break even point was. We tried a lot of food, though. Most of it very good.
The first thing we tried was the reimagined pork beef brisket Wellington, which Teresa unfortunately could not eat because it had mushrooms on it, which she almost ate until I was like, is that a mushroom? Yeah. And then that was that. So I give it a 3.5 out of 5. I thought that the meat on it was okay. The flavor was pretty good. The bottom part on the bottom, like the pastry part, was not the best. And also I learned later on that it was hard to eat with just a fork. I should have gotten a knife as well, and that would have been a little bit better.
So then we headed over to Winter Sliderland. I grabbed the beef pot roast on a potato roll little sandwich, and we also grabbed the prickly pear tea lemonade. Beef pot roast on a potato roll had great flavor. Just the piece of the hunk of meat that I got was kind of tough. Flavor was great, just not the best portion of meat, but I definitely would get it again. I would give it a second try.
The
sauce on it was very good, yes. And then the prickly pear tea. Oh, so I would give the beef pot roast 3.5 out of 5 again, just a little bit lower because of that meat, the tough meat. The prickly pear tea lemonade, however, fantastic. That has been my favorite specialty lemonade that we've had on this trip thus far. I give that a 4.5 out of 5.
I give it like a 4 out of 5. It was pretty good. We got the hot cocoa marshmallow macaron, which was really good. I thought it was good. Teresa, I think, thought it was, well, she'll say what she thought it was, but I thought it was a good 4 out of 5. It was very, very good.
I think the problem for me was that we had the peppermint chocolate macaron the same day as the hot cocoa marshmallow macaron. I was a little surprised. The hot cocoa marshmallow macaron actually has peppermint flavoring in it. So it just tasted very too similar to the macaron that we had already enjoyed, and it just wasn't as good as it. So I couldn't stop comparing the two because they tasted pretty similar.
Sure.
This one was definitely more chocolatey for sure, but I gave that a 3.5 out of 5. The other thing we tried too was the holiday stuffing mac and cheese. I think this is underrated. That was really delicious. I'd say 4.5 out of 5 for sure. Creamy. Love the texture of there was like crunchy stuffing bits on top. Great flavor. Yeah, very, very good.
I would agree with that. I saw some reviews that thought it wasn't very good, but I thought ours was really good, which we'll come back to a little bit later, that there was another item that everybody rated really well and we didn't think was that great. We also went and saw, we stopped to eat our food and we watched the drummers over there.
They were so fun. Kit Tay keeps making fun of me because I get excited every time I see the toy drummers. So we saw the toy drummers right in the holiday parade, and then we saw the toy drummers drumming away over at the festival holidays stage, and then there's all these cute little toy drummer decorations in DCA right now too, and they're just so fun. These toy drummers though, man, they had like they were wound up.
They had
fun. Energy. They were tons of fun.
We went on the Incredicoaster, which was great as always. Line moved really fast with that one. I feel like lines in general through the first 2 days of our trip moved really fast and things kind of moved through. There wasn't a lot of standing too long in any
Very
particular
true.
Line.
Very true. Sorry, I just got distracted. I just watched Wendy, Captain Hook, Moana, and the genie come out of his lamp. He's hiding back here because we'll talk about the genie service later, but we were joking earlier that maybe we won't see the genie character out because people might be a little grumpy with him today. Mm-hmm. But sorry, I got distracted with seeing the characters walk out. It's always super fun. So somehow we just happened to be the right place at the right time, or maybe it was the wrong place at the right time. I'm not really sure. I think it was pretty amazing, but we happened to be kind of back in the Paradise Garden Grill. Is that what it is? Paradise Garden Grill. Back in the Paradise Garden Grill, like, seating area. So that big area that has a stage back there. We just were kind of lingering back there. And all of a sudden, we realized that the Viva Navidad Parade was about to start. So we decided to kind of poke our heads and peek our heads around because there was this opening that you could kind of see back in some of the seating area towards the back there. And it actually turned out to be a really cool spot. Like, us being Disney nerds really appreciated it. If you're trying to fully enjoy and see the full parade, maybe you'd have been disappointed, but the cool thing about it was right behind the big main float that has the three caballeros, so that's the float with Donald on it, and right behind that. But we got to see kind of the backstage area of where they would set up some of the dancers and like the flag carriers to go out, so it was a really kind of energetic, fun place to be that was different than watching the parade from like the side that you're supposed to watch it from, I guess. So that was pretty cool, but what a fun parade. Great music.
I guess we could talk about it now. We ended up seeing it later from the other side, which was like the side you're meant to see it from, and we weren't blocked by some of the things we were standing behind. And it was really great. It goes kind of from the parade gate there all the way down to by Goofy Sky School. Mm-hmm. It like covers that whole section of the parade route, and I thought it was a really good show. There was a bajillion performers, and all of them were pouring their hearts into it.
Yeah, so much energy.
Of course, you got the three
fun
caballeros, like Teresa said, which you don't see
birds
them that often. You also had Mickey and Minnie came out. They were on the back of these bikes and running around and everything. So very, very cool. When we came to see it later, we did stop at the Paradise Garden Grill, and we ended up getting the trio of tacos, which they were not the best tacos. They were a little dry.
One of them was very good. There was like a pulled pork taco that was very juicy and good. The other ones, they just felt like they needed a sauce or something. They were just a little on the dry side.
But we got the torta, and the torta was amazing.
Yes.
I don't like refried beans, and I'm pretty sure there was a little bit of refried beans on this, but it did not ruin my enjoyment of it. It was really good.
Great.
It wasn't too spicy or anything, although the salsa they gave with the chips I thought was too spicy for me, but the torta itself was amazing.
Man, it was a great blend of flavors and very large. I was very surprised at how big this sandwich was. Like, could share this thing no problem. It was, yeah, very, very good.
I'm trying
the other
to pull
thing
up,
that we
I'm pulling up
we got was a dessert over there that, again, we kind of were like, ah, maybe, you know, it wasn't something on our list,
it was
but it
a
sounded
last
interesting.
Minute.
It was. It was a total impulse buy for us. It was called Pineapple Trace Leche Roulade, and it was a vanilla sponge cake with pineapple filling and a trace leche soak. Now, when they say soak, this thing came out
was
and
swimming.
It was like sitting in like an inch of stuff, but holy man, it was very good.
It was very, very good. It was, like I said, it was an impulse buy at the last minute. I'm glad we did it because mm-hmm. it ended up being really, really good. I think
trust
Therese,
your
and I,
gut.
Therese and I were both very full after that,
yes,
though.
Yes, we were.
So
we were. We also spent some time. We decided to go back over to the Grand Californian to check out, of course, the lovely Gingerbread House. We were there on Sunday afternoon, but there were performers in front of it, so we weren't able to get a good look at the front side of the house. So we decided to bop over there quick and check it out. We also just kind of wandered the hotel area because it's not, I don't know, it's not something that we've never stayed at the Grand Californian. So it's just fun to kind of explore the grounds because you hear about things over there, but we've never experience them. So that was a fun little kind of break from the parks.
Do you want to talk about this terrible drink you had?
Oh, yeah. To end the night, we went over and took a ride on Monsters, Inc., because that's always like a cute little fun favorite. We also rode mm-hmm. Goofy's Sky School at the end of the night. And then there was this holiday lemonade that was back at the Hollywood Lounge that I was super excited to try. It was on my list. And I don't know why I was so excited. It had like a butterfly pea tea, so I was super curious as to what that was. I'm gonna rate it a 0. That got a 0 out of 5. It was not worth by any stretch of the imagination the $6 that we paid for it or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was not good. So
no.
We watched the experience back there was also not great either. They seemed a bit discombobulated.
It felt like the booths we had at D23 that were a third party run.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like a Disney operation
no,
at all.
No, yeah. It was kind of messy, and the cast members back there just didn't seem to, I don't know if it was like late in the night, so they just wanted to go home or what it was, but yeah, I mobile ordered. My little thing popped up saying that my order was ready. I went to the counter and my drink was not ready. So she said, "That's okay, you know, what did you have?" And then she turned around and then she was gone for like 5 minutes. And then she came back and it was because they'd run out of cups. So she had to go search and find plastic cups to be able to put my drink in. So we got the cup situated. She then filled my cup with ice. And then the drink mostly consisted of orange juice, some limeade, and then just a touch of that just a touch of that butterfly pea tea. So
it was mostly ice, though.
It was, yeah. So it was just kind of like, it tasted kind of almost like watered down orange juice. It just was not mm-hmm. not as magical and holiday fabulous as I thought it was going to be.
We
so
also,
if it's on your list, I would recommend to skip it.
We also went and saw Mickey's PhilharMagic to kind of round out the night, which was great as always. We went through some of the shops there. Poor Therese has been looking for this shirt everywhere, but I think we've given up on it at this point.
Yeah.
But we walked through there, nothing terribly exciting. We went back to the hotel because we knew, we were going to start our last day, which is today, in the parks early. And, of course, Genie Plus was launching today,
mm-hmm.
and Lightning Lane and everything else that comes with it.
All of the excitement.
Now, I will tell you, in the beginning, this morning...
In the beginning, it was good.
So this morning... you can't buy Genie Plus until you have scanned into the park. So we
Which
got
I think
up.
Is
yeah, no, that's
plus,
great.
Plus and minus for that.
Yeah. So we got up. We came over. We waited in the security line. We got into DCA. We got some candy canes again, you know, like we wanted to. While we were in line for the candy canes, I ordered the Genie Plus, which that process went pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm.
You can order it for everybody in your party from the one thing as long as your tickets are linked or whatever. And you're both in the park. Because they do verify that with your location services. Then Therese ordered her coffee at Joffrey's.
I got my Joffrey's.
I ordered some breakfast at Pim Test Kitchen because that seemed like a good thing. And we grabbed I just wanted to try it, so I grabbed a Lightning Lane reservation for Mission Breakout. We're able to get that pretty quick. We finished eating. We went on Mission Break. Or no, we went on Mission Breakout before we ate.
Yep.
Because, you know, food. enjoyed that. That was a great. We had a great cast member.
We did. Our cast member for both the collector's office and then also the cast member that gets you buckled into your lifts, your gantry lift.
Both amazing.
Of them were fantastic.
I didn't get their names.
I didn't either, and we should have. But
yeah, they were great. Enjoyed that. Everything went great. We escaped the collector, which was great. We went and ate our breakfast and got Teresa's coffee. I went and was able to get a second lightning lane for Toy Story Midway Mania. And that was just like the next thing that was coming up. So as we finished our coffee and everything, we went over to Midway Mania. That's where the problems started happening.
Yeah.
So we were trying to pull up the reservation so we could scan into Midway Mania, and it wasn't working. The cast member did tell us, and this is great for future reference, that as long as you have the barcode of your park ticket, the machine will be smart enough to scan that and know that you have the reservation there or the Lightning Lane reservation. So we were able to get onto Midway Mania. Teresa and I were pretty close, actually. Weren't we?
we didn't. It was much better than I did on Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters the other day.
Yes.
I'm awful. I'm probably the worst at Astro Blasters. I don't know what my issue is with that, but that's okay.
But this is where everything started, like I said, go downhill. We, after that point, were not able to make any Lightning Lane reservations. Yep. However, I will say that at the beginning of our recording, I was able to snag a Lightning Lane reservation for Indiana Jones. So I think the system is coming back around.
Well, the other thing too, so there's been a lot of chaos, which I'm sure a lot of you have seen online or read or heard other places, that people, as soon as it went down, a lot of people just went right to guest relations and complained, and I think they were issuing like different things, and they weren't issuing refunds per se, but they were issuing either $20 gift cards or giving paper Lightning Lane passes for like two attractions. They were trying to compensate people since they were feeling like they were missing out, which I understand because, right, it was supposed to work. It didn't work. We tried to look at the bright side of it.
Yeah.
Attraction wait times were still pretty low.
Because standby again.
Yep, so we just sat through standby. We've been making the best out of our photo pass option that comes with the Genie. The other thing that one Genie actually fully comes out of his lamp and is ready to, you know, make his grand debut. The one cool thing that we did get a sneak peek of is not only do they have a tip, there's something called a tip board now with the Genie. They have two sections of it. I think a lot of people just focus on the attraction side and kind of miss the other side, which is probably the best, in my opinion, the best part of Genie, is there is a dining tip board. That dining tip board, from what we could see this morning, it looks like it shows you, like a list of places to get food in order of like wait
what's
time.
Available
so
yeah.
Like if you want to mobile order something and you don't want to wait long and you don't have your heart set in a specific location, it looks like it will at the top of the list show you all of the places that have the shortest, you know, the soonest window for mobile order, which is great. The other cool thing too is it shows any of the like walk-up lists, so places like Cafe Orleans that have walk-up lists right now, you have to go over and scan a QR code over at that location to get on that walk-up list or that wait list. Now with Genie you should be able to do that from anywhere in the park. So there are pluses. Now that part of Genie, the dining tips, that is free. The only thing that you're paying for is things like the Lightning Lane. So that's the old Fast Pass system. The two attractions we went on, the Lightning Lane was exactly the same queue and the exact same path as what the Fast Pass lanes had been.
Yeah. Overall, I think once they get the bugs kind of worked out of everybody hitting the system that's brand new really hard the first day and all of that, I think that the system will eventually be pretty good. If you ever used MaxPass, it feels very similar to that. It does seem like they added some really nice things, like the fact that they were able to add the dining section in there. We weren't able to really enjoy a lot of the whole system where they show like the crowd calendar and stuff. Seems like that whole section has been kind of disabled for the moment. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're trying to get the basic functionality that people care about most working right now try to shut off features that are just, it's not worth trying to work on right this second. But overall, I think it's going to end up being good. Teresa and I did talk about in future trips, maybe one or two days of like a 4 or 5 day trip getting it. But I don't think it's something, at least at this point, it's hard to tell because not everybody's been able to use Lightning Lanes, so we don't know what the impact on standby lanes have been.
Miguel just walked out. I have not seen a meet and greet with Miguel here
in Fantasyland before.
I think we need to find like a whole.
This might not be a good place to record future podcasts since I keep getting distracted by the fun kid. Yes. We've got Miguel. We've got Bert from Mary Poppins. And then we also have Pinocchio's over there. They're just so fun and so cute. But yeah, that's my thought with Genie too. It's another thing that's kind of different that we're having to try and get ourselves back into the habit to is you're going to be on your phone much more. So Tag's already had to recharge his phone today.
Yep.
The first couple days of the trip,
I made it all day.
We did not have to charge the phone halfway through the day, but since we are using the phones more often, remember to bring your battery packs. You are going to need to recharge. But I think Disney's going to be, compared to what the Fast Pass system was and Max Pass, I think Disney's going to be, or I think the Genie and Genie Plus hopefully will be a happy medium between standby only and having the Fast Pass. I think it's gonna be better than what we had with Fast Pass.
The only thing that concerns me is we thought that with reservations.
That's true.
I feel like the parks still feel really crowded.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on where they put the knobs for how many people can get into various things. But we'll have to wait and see. I think today is a bad way. You can't judge it today.
No.
I wouldn't even say you could judge it this week. I would say
possibly
after
even
the
this
holiday
month.
Season. I think that things will get normalized. People will learn how to use the system. Disney will get all of the technical things worked out. And then I think we'll have to look at what reports are when we are here later next year in the spring. We'll have to see what our experience is then. Obviously, Teresa, you're going to have family and stuff here.
Yeah.
So we'll see what their experience is if they decide to do it, because they're normal users. They're not like us that know the parks by the background.
They're vacationers.
So we'll have to see what they think of things like the day planning stuff, if there's
that's
anybody
true.
That's interested in that.
Very true.
The last thing I think we want to talk about is we also finished using our Sip and Saver Pass.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about the last few things. Because today, actually, I thought the food might have even been better today overall than the food we had yesterday, perhaps. So I don't think we're going to do this in any order. I'm just going to go down the list here. We had the braised pork belly adobo with garlic fried rice. This, I thought, this is a 5 out of 5 for me. This was amazing.
I rated it 4 out of 5. Just didn't quite do it as much for me as it did for you, but it was still very good.
Mostly, I think I was surprised because there was a big chunk of fat on it, and I hate fat, but I was able to eat it because it didn't, it was rendered properly, I think is the proper term.
We were joking because, right, a lot of people say, oh, fat equals flavor. Well, usually, to me, I seem to get, like, chewy, not
texture's
great.
Bad,
yeah. And this time, yes, I think the fat did equal flavor for this piece of meat. It was really, really good. The other thing that we tried there was the
calamansi lemon.
The other thing we tried over there was the calamansi melon lemonade. This one was not as good as that prickly pear tea lemonade was, though. So we both gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
Teresa gave me, like, the last of it, and I thought it was a little too tart.
We went over to Grandma's Recipes, tried the Impossible Arepa. It was dairy-free queso stuffed with spiced plant-based ground beef and pickled onions. This is, like, of all the things to talk about, the pickled onions on these were, like, on point, great. They added so much flavor and such a fun crunch texture. I was really impressed. I really enjoyed this one. For me, it was a 4 out of 5.
I thought that the pastry
maize.
Thing, the maize that was on the bottom, I didn't enjoy as much. So I gave it a 2 out of 5. This was low. I should have tried the berries and crema, by the way, that was there, but I did not. Very good.
We also, over at the Favorite Things booth, tried the chana masala. Very good. It came with grilled garlic naan. So this was almost like a, like, not like a curry, but it was kind of almost like a stew, I guess would be a good way of saying it. It was tomato-based. Chickpeas were in it. There was some, of course, tomatoes, onions, all sorts of yummy spices. I really enjoyed this one. 4 out of 5
for
me.
Yeah. I wish that they would have given us a little bit more of the naan, because there was a lot of, like, the stew.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to dip it in there.
Yes.
So.
Yes, me too. Last, we went to Mary Mashups, and we tried the carnitas mac and cheese, which this one has been getting rave reviews, so we were curious about this. I was not impressed. This was not my thing. I enjoyed the stuffy mac a lot more than I did the carnitas mac. I would say, for me, it was a 2.5 out of 5. I don't know if our ratios are off, but it felt like the cheese of this mac and cheese was creamy, but didn't have very much for flavor.
Yeah, there was a lot of it. I thought, I don't know, I liked the stuffy mac and cheese better. I gave it a 2 out of 5.
And then the final thing that we somehow didn't talk about, because I got it both days that we were at the festival. I got it yesterday and I got it today, was the churro toffee cold brew. Hands down, favorite cold brew of the trip. So good.
I thought the foam on it was great. It literally tasted like churro toffee. The coffee was still too coffee-like for me, and that's because I'm not a coffee lover.
Yeah, you're not a coffee. But for a coffee drink, I would say you
enjoyed it.
It
was pretty good. It was pretty good.
But it tasted like if you took coffee and then took, like, the milk from Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal, like after you've eaten your Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal, that milk in your cold brew, it was so creamy. The coffee was so smooth.
So it tasted like rum chata is what you're saying.
It kind of did, yeah.
Because rum chata has that.
It was so yummy. Yeah, 2 days I got that. It was so, so good.
All right, guys. We're going to wrap up because we still have a whole second half of the day.
We do.
We're hoping to stay here till midnight. We'll see what happens. We're also hoping to spend a couple hours in the park tomorrow morning. We'll see how that goes. We'll be back home by the time this gets all edited and aired and everything like that. So I hope you guys enjoyed hearing all the sights and hearing all these sounds behind us as we're sitting here recording. And we hope to meet some people. We won't know when this goes, but we're having a meetup at It's a Small World in about an hour and a half to ride it with everybody. Mm-hmm. The It's a Small World holiday. So that should be a lot of fun. So coming to you from Disneyland. We're going to go out and enjoy the parks, right?
Oh, yes. We're going to enjoy the parks.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land. See how they did on this holiday-themed questions with one twist at the end, of course. First question, when did the very first A Christmas Fantasy parade start at Disneyland? You both think it's been around a lot longer than it is. It started in November of 1995.
95? Yeah. I was only 6 years off. Tag was 19.
A lot.
I mean, he was close on his alternate answer, but...
Wait, what year was it?
1995.
Oh.
The second one, also testing your history, but this time courtesy of Trisha H. In what year did Disneyland's famous candy canes make their debut? The cult classic's been around a whole lot longer than both of you thought. It started in 1968.
Whoa. Wow.
So
we were way off.
Yeah, we were.
It might have taken a long time to get the popularity, but boy, they've been there.
Wow.
Question three, also from Trisha H.
I like how you picked up your candy cane.
I wanted to eat it, but it's too big.
It was funny because you picked it up and I was like, that one hasn't been there since 1968, Teresa.
It's been 53 years.
Yeah.
Our third question, courtesy also of Trisha. The residents of Cars Land celebrate the season by creating their own unique trees. How do Mater, Sally, Lizzie, and Luigi decorate their trees? Oh, Teresa.
Oh, no.
You flipped two of them around.
Oh, dang it.
Mater uses the tires. Luigi uses the hubcaps. Sally does indeed use traffic cones. And I'm going to let it slide. Lizzie decorates in the theme of Route 66.
Oh.
So, close enough.
So I didn't get it right because I have another wrong person.
I thought Luigi. Okay. I got to
see Luigi's. Well, the tree was made out of the tires, but I think that the decorations are hubcaps.
We didn't go down that, like, we did not go down that far for some reason.
We looked at one because you were, like, pointing at it and excited.
Hmm.
Right there's a picture in the middle.
I don't remember anything being, oh, look at how cute the little
Route 66 one is.
Route 66 one is. I was thinking of this tree was what I was thinking of.
Yeah, that's the hubcap one that's at the end of the street.
And our last one, a cast member costume question. Starting from the bottom up, the cast members wear blue pants. Most I've seen are baby blue, though some I've seen have been navy-ish, though not as often. They have a white shirt tucked in. It really reminds me of a button-up, but there's no buttons, and it has a rather deep V that reveals a blue and white striped shirt underneath. That makes me think of Mr. Schmee. And to top it off, they're wearing what I can best describe as a sun hat. It's not big and floppy by any means, but it does have a ribbon that matches their pants. You two fell into the trap of Ariel's undersea adventure. It is indeed. It's a small world.
You mean we drowned.
You drowned. Ursula got the best of you two. You should have thought of the joy of It's a Small World opening up while you were there.
We were too distracted by all the Christmas lights when we were there.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, a great week of stumping these two. I'm sure we'll have some more holiday-themed questions next week. If you've got an idea for one of those, send it our way. And if it's non-holiday-themed, there's still plenty of podcasts to come. Producer Vern, and my email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.